Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our teaching on the subject, faith, our way of life. Once again, faith, our way of life. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Once again, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, please go to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Again, Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. And it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Once again, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And finally, please go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 6. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Once again, it says, But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Now, when we look at these three verses, the first one where it tells us, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That word walk in that verse simply means to live, to follow as a companion or a devoted follower or believer or strong supporter of an idea, hobby, or lifestyle. In this case, the lifestyle of faith. So that scripture can say, for we live by faith and not by sight. And that word sight in that verse, it means things that are perceived by the senses. Things that are perceived by the senses. Things that we see, we hear, we touch, taste, and smell. We as humans rely primarily on these senses to gather information from our environment and translate it into our signals to our brains, which can interpret for us to function. But now we are told to walk by faith and not by the things which are perceived by the senses. And then it also tells us in this next verse where it says, faith comes by hearing. And that word hearing simply means the sense or the things heard or understood. The sense or the things heard or understood. And then Hebrews 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible. So impossible means unable, weak, cannot do, not possible. And then it tells us that God will reward us for diligently seeking him. And that means to repay for services. See, everything in the kingdom of God is activated by faith. That is why I believe faith is the number one subject the born believer needs to have a spiritual understanding about. Now, if we were to combine those three verses we just read, and I know the word tells us that we should not add or subtract from the word, but when you're doing your personal study, you can do combinations just for your personal understanding of the word. So if we take those three scriptures and combine them in one, we can read it like this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So we live by faith, not by sight, for God rewards those who diligently seek him. Amen. Again, we are not excluding any of the other subjects that are just as important as faith, which includes prayer, fellowship, love, and hope. But keep in mind, we're talking about priority. And faith, in my opinion, is the number one subject the born-again believer must understand first in order to successfully walk in this dying world. Now, we explained during our last time together that faith is more important than love, because in some cases, you're going to have to learn how to love that individual by faith. Now, remember, I am not advocating or saying that faith takes the place of love, but keep in mind, we are dealing with priority. You need to learn about faith before you can learn about love. And the reasoning for that is that you are going to have to learn how to love people by faith. Now, let me give you my definition of priority. Priority simply means the right to take precedence or to proceed before others. And because all the promises of the body of Christ is activated by faith, then faith takes precedence over the other subjects. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that love is the most important thing, but allow me to show you that faith is more important than love. Remember, I'm not saying faith takes the place of love. Keep in mind, I'm dealing with priority. You need to learn about faith before you can learn about love. And the reason you need to do that is because you're going to have to learn how to love people by faith. Amen. If you do not have faith and you do not know how to operate in faith, you're not going to be able to love. Now, you might disagree with that because it clearly reveals in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, "Not abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Now, in reading that passage of scripture, you might think it contradicts what I said about faith being a priority. But we need to understand what you are reading. Scripture must be read in context. Let me say that again. Scripture must be read in context. Now, the problem with this is people have taken the last part of 1 Corinthians 13 and have extracted it from its existence or from its setting and used it as a principle. Now, what a principle is a principle refers to a fundamental rule, belief, or moral standard. And so people have extracted that from its setting and used it as a principle. They interpret it as saying love is more important than anything else. Now, I want you to stay with me and do not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Pay attention to what I'm saying. However, that is not what Paul is writing about. To understand its context, and context means it refers to the circumstances that form the setting for an event, a statement, or idea, and in terms of which it can be fully understood and assessed. The parts of something written or spoken that immediately precedes and follow a word or passage and clarify its meaning. So to understand its contents, you need to read chapter 12 and chapter 14. To help you understand, let me clarify the setting in which the Apostle Paul was speaking about. First, it takes place in the city of Corinth, and there were problems in the church at Corinth in terms of the people understanding fully how to operate in the things of the Spirit. As a result, there was confusion and misunderstanding. Again, there was confusion and misunderstanding. Now, we know by the word, it tells us that God is not the author of confusion. So something else was happening here. Therefore, the body at Corinth was not being edified as it should if they had understood how to flow in the Spirit. So Paul, he inserted 1 Corinthians 13 right between chapters 12 and 14 to show the people there at Corinth in order to operate in chapters 12, which is the Spirit gifts and the unity in their diversity, and chapter 14, which is prophecy and tongues, they should do it out of a motive of love. Amen. They should do it out of a motive of love. So he placed that in between those two chapters. Remember, the principle I shared with you, love is the greatest motivator, but faith is the greatest activator. Amen. So go with me, please, to 1 John chapter 4. Again, 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to read verse number 8. And it says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Let me repeat that. It says, "He who does not love does not know God, because God is love." See, the primary motive by which you should do anything is love. There is no greater motivator than love. In other words, you should serve God because you love him, not because you are obligated to do so, but because you love him. You are to pay your tithes because you love God. You are to live right because you love God. You should read the word, study the word, and pray because of a motive of love. You should give and be an example to your families by a motive of love. Pray and lay hands on the sick because of love. Amen. So the greatest motivator is love. Now, our last time together, we were discussing faith and belief, two words that are similar in meaning, but they are very different. Very different. Now, let's look at the word faith. It simply means belief, trust, or confidence, trustworthiness in both the secular and religious teaching. Greek, the meaning is very similar. It means respect to a person or thing, belief, commit to trust, to entrust especially one's spiritual well-being in Christ. Now, before I really understood the difference between faith and belief, I was using them interchangeable. Just two different ways of saying the same thing. But I was so wrong. There is a difference, and there is a big difference between the two. But if you never taught the difference, then you don't know. And I didn't know. But once you are taught, you're going to be held responsible for what you know. See, God is not going to hold you responsible for things you didn't know. But he's certainly going to hold you responsible for the things you do know. Amen. And he should, because it's up to you to take the truth of the word of God and apply it to your lives. Amen. See, your faith requires action. Now, I agree there is a difference between faith and belief in our everyday living, and that difference is tremendous. However, if you do not know and understand the difference, you can be operating in faith, and really you're doing only believing. You will see the difference by this graphic illustration. Now, say, for instance, we have in our monetary system here in the United States, dollars, bills, and coins distributed by the United States Treasury. It is considered legal tender, meaning these bills and coins can be traded or spent on the open economic market for goods and services. Now, if you take the quarter or the 25-cent piece, for example, which was first produced in 1796 by the U.S. Mint, it has two sides to the coin. On one side, we have the profile of George Washington, our first president of the United States, usually referred to as heads. On the other side, it started out with our nation's national bird, the bald eagle. But it has changed since 1998. And this side is commonly known as tails. So we have heads and tails. Now, this corn is considered as legal tender and can be used to buy goods and services on the economic market. However, both sides of this coin must be intact in order to be spendable. Now, what I mean by that is, if one side of the coin is defaced and not recognizable, then any merchant can refuse to accept that coin because it is defaced. Both sides of the coin have to be intact in order for that coin to spend on the open economic market here in the United States. If you examine the quarter dollar, there is a vast difference between the eagle and the head of George Washington, just as there is a difference between faith and belief. Just as the world has an economic market system, God also has his spiritual economic plan, and it's more reliable and it's inflation-free. God has an economic market also. It is called his own spiritual market, and it also contains spiritual legal tender. His coin can be utilized on the open spiritual market. You can also trade it for goods and services. This coin also has two sides, but both sides have to be intact in order for the coin to spin. One side of the coin is faith, and the other side of the coin is belief. The difference between faith and belief is just as different as the president's head and the eagle on a 25-cent piece. See, understanding faith and belief, they must work together. They must work together. Now, I want to present a scenario to you, and I want you to listen to this scenario regarding faith and belief. Let's say this person was reading the financial section of their local newspaper and discovered they had won the local raffle sponsored by the newspaper for the Underprivileged Children's Society, and a check for the amount of $1,000 was waiting for the winner. And she found out that her name was on the list and she has won the $1,000. Now, the only thing that person had to do was to go down to the office of the newspaper, show proper ID, and receive her money. But there was a stipulation. She had to claim the money within a week or forfeit her winnings. This person was so excited about her good fortune, she called her friends and told her, "Hey, I just won $1,000. I believe that if I go down to the newspaper and show them my ID, I could collect my $1,000. So she waited around. She didn't go down immediately, but she kept telling her friend, her girlfriend said, "Did you go down to get your money?" And she answered her friend, said, "No, but I believe if I go down with my proper ID, I'll get my money." So a week went past, a week and a half, so she finally went down and to the newspaper. She went up to the window. She introduced herself, showed her ID, and said she was there for her winnings. When she presented the ID, the young lady at the window says, "I'll be right back," and excused themselves and returned within a few minutes and told that person they were sorry, but their time to claim the money had expired and they were not eligible for the prize. Now, we're talking about faith and belief working together. in this scenario, we just read that that person had expressed to their friend that she believed that if she had went down and showed the proper ID, she would have collected her $1,000. She actually believed that, and that was true. But there was a caveat to that. She had a week's time to do that. And she let that expire. Even though she believed if she went down and showed the proper ID, she would have got the money. And that is true. She believed that. But she didn't act on it in the amount of time that she should. So what happened was, it was just belief. She believed that she went down and showed the proper ID, she would have won the $1,000 or collected. And that was true. But she did not activate her belief with the faith. She did not put action to her faith. Well, you know what? I'm just about through for today's teaching. But please join us next week when we continue teaching on this scenario. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.